And greetings, friends around the world. Once again, I'm glad to bring you this series on Matthew. I'm Roderick C. Meredith speaking for the Living Church of God, and we're going through this series day by day, and we're going to be able to play these programs, I think, twice a week to you, so you can tune in and then go back and check the previous ones once we get this series started. So we're going through the book of Matthew, almost every verse, and giving you the overview and the meaning of the book of Matthew, one of the most important books in the Bible, the beginning of the New Testament, the Hebrew Gospel, as it's sometimes called, but the Gospel that talks about the way of God, perhaps more than any other book, because it spells out in detail in the Sermon on the Mount and other places how to pray, how to fast, how to do lots of things in the Christian life, a very powerful and meaningful book. So open your Bibles, pick up with chapter 12. We just finished chapter 11, and we're going to begin chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Now, this was not Sunday. My old Methodist grandmother used to call Sunday the Sabbath. But my friend, Sunday was not the Sabbath, is not the Sabbath, never has been the Sabbath, never will be the Sabbath. And most scholars recognize that. And, of course, one of the Catholic cardinals in the United States, way back a number of years ago, said you could search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you cannot find one word authorizing the observance of Sunday. And, of course, that's true. The Bible does not speak about Sunday at all. Lots of people try to think it does, but it does not. It talks about the Lord's Day, and they try to call that the Sunday. But, of course, the Lord's Day, spoken of in Revelation, is the time when God intervenes in human affairs and shakes the nations and shakes every mountain and every island out of his place. Now, does he do that on Sunday? I don't think so. And other scriptures like that, they kind of jerk out of context and try to make it into a Sunday. But Jesus was going through the grain fields on the Sabbath. The Sabbath the Jews were keeping, which is Friday evening sunset to Saturday evening sunset. And here in the United States, we recently had Senator Lieberman, of course, running for vice president of the United States. And they talked about how Senator Lieberman was observing the Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday evening sunset. And that indeed is what the Bible talks about. And his disciples were hungry and began to eat or pluck heads of grain and to eat. So they weren't working in the sense of the kind of work the Bible was talking about at all. They were simply going along getting a little snack, and they were hungry, and Jesus kept them so busy preaching to people and talking to people and helping people, they got hungry. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath." The Sabbath law said nothing about this kind of thing. This was breaking their human, man-made tradition. This was not breaking God's law. But the Pharisees had added 65 different do's and don'ts to the Sabbath that did not come from God, did not come from God's word at all. And so they were condemning him for breaking their tradition, not God's law. Then Jesus said, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which is not lawful, that is technically for the priesthood, but God never commanded them not to ever let anyone eat it." It was nothing like breaking the Day of Atonement and nothing like, you know, breaking the command against the Sabbath by working on it. It's just an ordinance of how to use the showbread. So he used it for those who were with him. And have you not read in verse 5, he says, "In the law, that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless." In other words, God had them do certain sacrifices on the Sabbath. That was their work, and yet it was God's work. So that was not wrong. There are cases when you can work on the Sabbath if it's doing God's work, or if it's just eating a snack or fixing some little thing. That's not a big deal to God at all, one way or the other. But I say to you, Jesus began to talk about the Sabbath day. He didn't do away with the Sabbath. He said, "Oh, well, don't worry about it. It's all right to break it. It is done away." He said no such thing. He said, "But I say to you that in this place there's one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. You would not have tried to condemn these men for eating a little snack when they were hungry on the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath is the Lord's day. That's the day he's Lord of. It says that right here. He's Lord of the Sabbath. "Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue," of course this was on the Sabbath, And behold, there's a certain man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Again, this was breaking one of their human traditions. God said nothing about healing on the Sabbath. You see, in God's healing, there isn't a 4.5-hour operation with the anesthesiologist and all the other specialists around working on a human body and tearing the rib cage apart and cutting in there and taking this out and doing this and that. Nothing like that. Jesus just said, be healed. And they were healed. How much work is that? That was a great honor to Almighty God. So we have to think about it, the reality of what Jesus was doing on the Sabbath. But they thought that was breaking God's law. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it fell into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? You see, the Jews were very crafty. They would put all these kinds of do's and don'ts about men on the Sabbath and what they could do. But boy, if it involved property, well, they wanted that money, you know. So they would lift their sheep out on the Sabbath. And how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to help a man, to heal a man. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, restored, whole as the other. He healed that man supernaturally by the power of God. And as I've shown you in this program before, or in this series we're going through, why, of course, Jesus healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease and told his disciples to do the same thing. Then the Pharisees went out, and they rejoiced, and they thanked God that here was the Messiah, very clearly shown to be God, the Son of God, because he'd healed this man. No, they didn't do that. Read on. They were jealous. They were protecting their position. And down through time, biblical history shows, and secular history brings out and shows very clearly, that the servants of God were persecuted most of all through time by people who had religious jealousy. Other religionists would persecute God's servants. The other ministers and the other religionists would always go after the true servants of God. That's the way it always has been. That's terrible, but that's the way it is. So they were wanting to go out and destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he warned them not to make him known. He wasn't trying to go out and say, let me save you and believe in my name. He said, be careful, don't tell people about me. And of course, the prophet then had said about him, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom I am well pleased, I'll put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out. He wasn't to make some big public spectacle, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Indeed, he didn't go up and down the streets of Jerusalem and perform great miracles. He did often his miracles in private, just to show the brethren and the people that he loved them. A bruised reed he will not break. In other words, he was very gentle, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will trust. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. Here's a man filled with a demon, and the demon caused him to be blind and mute, unable to see and unable to hear. And the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. So he then was able to heal this man. He healed him. So the man was able to see and to hear. And all the multitudes were amazed, and they said, could this be the son of David? In other words, that prophesied Messiah, the descendant of David. But when the Pharisees, those good old guys, they came along, and what did they say? Were they glad? No. They said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler or the prince of the demons. He is the chief demon, and he's casting out the demons. So they tried to accuse Jesus in a sense of working with the devil. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. That's what Abraham Lincoln said during the Civil War. A house divided against itself cannot stand. You've got to have unity in the church of God. You've got to have unity in any organization, any kingdom, any nation, or you are in terrible trouble. You can't have two different minds running the show. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Whose kingdom? How then will his, Satan, the devil's kingdom stand? Because he's talking about the devil here. Satan has a kingdom. Satan has an organized government. He has his demons out there deceiving people, millions of them all over the world. And most people are not aware of that spirit world. They don't think about it that way. They don't realize that the demons are here, they're there, they're in the media often in our society. They're influencing people to stir people up through these violent movies, sexy movies, vile things coming out on television and the motion picture and over the internet, these rotten computer games, stirring up our young people to perversion and to homosexuality, to bestiality, to every imagined thing. And that's what's going on in our society. We don't realize where it's coming from. Well, this is where it's coming from. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Some of them had had apparently sincere young Jewish leaders who'd cast out demons. Therefore, they'll be your judges. They knew that only God cast out demons, not Satan. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. That was always Jesus' message, the kingdom of God, God's government. And God's government is being manifested right there among you, Jesus was telling them, if I cast out demons here, because that shows the power of God. Or else how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. We need to think about all of these things. There is a very real spirit world, and Satan the devil is trying to twist everything around, and he makes up, down, and black, white, and everything like that. We went through this section here about the Sabbath day, and Jesus was showing them how to keep the Sabbath day. And it's not wrong to heal on the Sabbath day or to pluck some ears of grain or get a snack. We have a booklet, by the way, on the Sabbath day that I'd like to show you right here. It's called, as you can see, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? Ask for this booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? And this really spells it out and makes it very, very plain. It's a powerful command of God Almighty, one of the Ten Commandments, and a very powerful booklet, by the way. I think you'll enjoy it, and you'll find it's not just a lot of ranting and raving. It is fact. It is proof, something you need. And when Satan deceives people and turns them aside, certainly they get mixed up on that commandment and all the commandments of God. He then says in verse 30, he who is not with me is against me. You've got to be with God. You've got to be with Christ. Be willing to do what they say. Obey their commandments, not argue. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. You see, these Pharisees were getting very close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit when they were accusing Christ of using the devil. That is very close to it. And maybe they were doing it. He didn't say so, but he was surely showing them they were very close. So he said, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, every sin you could commit, but when you directly blaspheme the Spirit of God, you impute evil directly to the Spirit of God and the way of God, you will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Get down clearly on one side or the other. Obey God, or get out and just do what the devil says. It's a lot better than messing around trying to claim a person as a Christian, yet he won't obey God's law, he won't follow Christ's example, but he tries to call himself a Christian. That's not right. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. They were evil, and he shows that right here. And, of course, the heart, the attitude of man causes them to say these things, saying these things as they did against Jesus Christ and trying to accuse him of being a servant of the devil. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man brings out evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Boy, that's something to think about. Every idle word, when you start putting down someone else, chopping them up in little pieces, evaluating, you know, putting someone and judging people, condemning each other human beings, especially those who are sincere, would be in God's church. What a rotten thing that is. Every idle word is something we will be judged for in the day of judgment, that coming day of judgment we talked about last time. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You'll be condemned by your actions, but you'll also be condemned by your words. And Jesus Christ said that. That's what he said. So let's remember that. And let's really try to be careful what we say and what we do, and try to emulate Jesus Christ. Learn to keep his law. Respect God's Sabbath. Learn to do it and keep it properly as Jesus did. And learn to impute, good attitudes toward people and not condemn people when they're serving Almighty God and healing the sick, preaching the truth, and doing the work of God. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you speak. This is Roderick Meredith for the Living Church of God. We'll continue this series in Matthew next time. In the meantime, be sure and write in for this booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? You'll find it a powerful message and something you really need. See you next time.